If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Chicago is known famously as the city that works. But who keeps it working? So in the new WTTW 60-Minute Special, Chicago Works, premiering next Tuesday, December 9th on WTTW, the PBS app, and WTTW.com/Chicago Works, Jeffrey Bear meets and helps some industrious workers across the city and suburbs who operate the Chicago's most movable bridges, deliver millions of packages, care for the city's animals, process recycling, operating the Wrigley Field scoreboard, and much more. And to talk about it all in studio is my pal, Jeffrey Bear. Jeffrey, how are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm especially good now that you've called me your pal.
We are pals.
I'm your pal.
We're pals. Look
wow.
at us.
I'm Dave Plyer's pal.
But my pals come and visit the museum, so we're going to have to figure that out, Jeffrey.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're
going right.
to have to do
I'll
that.
I'll go see the Museum of Broadcast Communications. What's the address?
It's 440 West Randolph.
When's it open?
It's open Wednesday through Sunday.
Excellent.
Yes, good job. Great. So how did this one come about, this special, Chicago Works? I love the theme for this because no one really knows how the city operates. Just things get done.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So I've been always curious about what goes on behind the scenes of our daily life. You know, you turn on the water faucet. Where did that water come from? Who pumped it to your house? When it goes down the drain, where does it... Whoops. When it goes down the drain, where does it go? You know, those kind of things. And it's just always kind of fascinated me.
Yeah.
Now that the two things I just described are actually not in the show.
Yeah.
But, you know,
the next one, Chicago Works 2.
There you go.
And that's what I love about these, by the way, because it's always an open door to a second part, third part of all this.
But absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, we just picked ones where we found some terrific people. The people are amazing in this show. And so we follow the people who like raise and lower the Chicago River bridges. We go down underneath the bridge and see those gears that are as big as you are, opening and closing the bridge. I've always wondered, like, when I throw my recycling in the blue bin, who sorts all that stuff? How does that work? It is a contraption that's like the size of the biggest ride at Six Flags under one roof with spinning things and conveyor belts and these amazing, like, crazy technologies to sort paper from plastic, from metal, from glass. I've always wondered, like, when I send a package, how does it get there so fast?
Yeah.
And we went to the world's largest UPS ground sorting facility, which is down in Hodgkins, so suburban Hodgkins, Illinois. Again, acres and acres and acres of conveyor belts and laser scanners. And
what season did you go for that? Because now they're probably crazy.
We were there in the summer, but they said that and they were having like three shifts a day, and I forget the statistics, thousands of packages, but they said it's even orders of magnitude busier at this time of year.
And you know what I think about too, like, you know, UPS and FedEx, they're so successful and so well put together, and I'm sure you feel the same way after seeing it. Why can't we figure that out with the post office? Why are we losing billions of dollars for decades, Jeffrey?
I'm not an
expert.
You've
got the solutions.
I'm not an expert on the U.S. Postal Service, to be honest with you. So I can't comment on that one.
But you were impressed. You were impressed with what you saw.
Oh, it was amazing. I talked to, part of this is the people that we meet.
Right,
you know, the people are so fantastic. So we talked to this, and he's a civil engineer, maybe. Yeah. He's an engineering guy who is responsible for not only maintaining all of these complex systems at this UPS sorting center, but sort of dreaming up even more crazy, ways to do things even faster.
Sure.
There's this little arms that sort of, as the packages are going along, when it gets to the right chute, a little arm kind of kicks it off the conveyor. Yeah. But then they dreamed up this new kind of gentler way of these little pucks that kind of slide along and sort of push the packages off. I mean, it's just crazy, all of the technology. So, we do those kinds of things.
But even similar with the sorting with the recyclables, like, I have a, let's call her a senior Chicagoan that lives in my neighborhood, and were talking about the recycling cans. You know, they come on a different day and everything else. And, you know, we talked about where it all went. She goes, ah, it's the city. It's all going to the dump.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think so.
No, it's not. I mean, yeah. Recycling is a very interesting dilemma. You know, plastic is a real problem. Yeah. And yes, they are able to sort some of the plastic. Number two and number four, okay. Specifically.
Yeah, interesting.
But, you know, on the bottoms of all these plastic products, you see a number five, number six, number seven. Yes, in theory, those things are recyclable, but there's no market for them.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
Even the number two plastics, the number four, which you can recycle, you know, it's amazing to watch what they do. They bale them up into these bales and store them in gigantic stacks in a warehouse. But as somebody in our show says, if the price of oil is low, there isn't even a market for that. So
interesting how that connects.
Yeah.
It makes sense, by the way.
Right. Yeah. So glass, paper, and metal are definitely recycled and recycled well. So at this facility, these machines are amazing. First, everything just gets dumped on one floor and scooped up and put into a bin, and it goes up a conveyor belt. And then at the very top is sort of the first part of sorting, and it's these giant, really scary looking, like spinning, corkscrew kind of auger things. And the logic of it is that anything that's sort of big and flat, like a big piece of cardboard, sort of surfs across the top of it and gets sent one way. Anything that's small and heavy falls through onto a different sorter. Right.
Yeah.
They have these really like mind-blowing machines where a bunch of stuff that's been pre-sorted, smaller stuff, is flying it down this conveyor belt at like, you know, 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And if it's these laser scanners are looking at it all.
Yeah.
And if something is sort of lightweight, like plastic or paper, puffs of air shoot out of the bottom of this thing and blow it up into one
another
chute.
Thing. Okay.
And if it's heavier, they don't shoot a puff of air and it falls down to another place. It's just amazing, the technologies.
Yeah.
And the other thing about it that's kind of amazing is to think of the human component of it. You know, you're seeing like some kid's math homework going by, you know, or an energy drink, you know, someone drank that and then threw it in the recycling.
Right.
And the other thing is that everyone listen to me right now. This is important. Do not put plastic bags in recycling. They gum up the works. They stop the whole machine. And so
I would have not known that.
Do not put plastic bags in recycling. And there are human workers standing along these conveyor belts at all different strategic points along.
Grabbing it.
Just all day long, grabbing plastic bags and throwing them into separate bins.
So do your part.
Do not put plastic bags in recycling. You can recycle plastic bags like at the grocery store.
Okay.
So we take our plastic bags and bag them up and take them back to the grocery store, but do not put plastic bags in the recycling.
What I love about the power of radio is we can talk about this. This sounds exciting. Now you want to see it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be next Tuesday.
It is. Tuesday on WTTW. It's called Chicago Works with me, Jeffrey Bear.
And so this meet the crew inside the manually operated scoreboard at Wrigley Field. Yeah. So I just took somebody to their first Major League Baseball game and looked up at the scoreboard, and she said, "There's a person in there."
There's
I said,
several
"Yeah,
people
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, yeah." I think about the coldest months and the summer months because there's no air conditioning
no,
up there.
Yeah, it's very, it's really sweltering in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got to go inside the scoreboard at Wrigley Field and help them change the scores. Met the guy who's in charge of it.
Yeah.
That was a bucket list thing.
Yeah,
that
for
was
sure.
So much fun. There's all these kind of catwalks in there because they're putting up scores from all over the country.
Right.
And
there's ramps in there.
Sort of like stairways.
Okay.
Up and down leading to these catwalks.
Okay.
And there is something that looks like a rain gutter on your house in case you need to pee.
Yeah, right. I heard that there's no bathroom, and in real time, you got to keep up with the score, right?
Yeah. I say they pointed to it. They said, "Yeah, it's right there."
Wow.
And then one of the people,
I'd like one in studio.
That perfect. I where is it? I need one right now.
Yeah. No.
There's one person who operates who does one job with the scoreboard who's not in the scoreboard.
Yeah.
He's a guy called Quick Rick.
Okay.
And he's up in the press booth. And he puts the balls and strikes up on the scoreboard, and he has the body language of every umpire memorized.
Oh.
So that he can tell as quickly as possible whether the ump is going to call a ball or a strike. And he's got this little panel in front of him, and he tries to put the ball and strike up there just as the ump is even thinking ball or strike.
It's very quick.
People have noticed that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then he's the same guy who trims the ivy on the outfield wall.
Multiple jobs like we all do.
So he took me, multitasking. Yeah. So he took me out on a little high lifter and I helped trim the ivy at Wrigley Field.
Bucket list, all the way straight through, right?
It was really kind of cool.
More with Jeffrey Bear, his new WTTW special is 60 Minutes Chicago Works premieres next Tuesday, December 9th on WTTW, the PBS app and WTTW.com/ChicagoWorks. And there's more with Jeffrey right after this on 720 WGN. All right, Dave Plyer, 720 WGN. We're talking to Jeffrey Bear. His new WTTW 60 Minute Special, Chicago Works, premieres next Tuesday, December 9th. So looking at some of the other things that you've done. Now, this might sound bizarre, but, I've worked in the city before, but I always drove. Hmm. And now that I've got this interim job at the Broadcast Museum, I'm across the street from Ogilvy. You walk across the street, and I'm right there. Even in the coldest and the hottest temps, I'm walking right there. I've never done it before. I've never taken the Metro to work. And I will tell you, no. And so now doing it almost every day, I'm like, who wants to sit on the Kennedy?
I get work done. It's the greatest thing.
Yes, it is.
It's the greatest thing. So we ride. I get to ride in my TV show. I get to ride in a Metro locomotive with the engineer, which was, another bucket list thing because I'm a kind of a train fan. In fact, this show we're talking about right now debuts on Tuesday. My next show, which we've already finished, which airs in the spring, is Riding the Rails with Jeffrey Bear.
Okay,
so because I really got to geek out. But in this current show, I ride in a locomotive with this engineer, and I live in Evanston.
Okay,
and same thing when I'm about a 5 minute walk from a Metro station. Right. You're downtown in like 25 minutes.
Yeah.
You can work. You can read.
Yeah.
It's like that compared to riding a car.
Is
night and day. But so it's funny. I was telling you about this sort of pride that these people have in their jobs, and I'm kind of a train nut, So I said to the engineer, to the locomotive engineer, I said, "Did you always want to be a railroader?" He goes, "No."
And wow.
He said, "I'm third generation and my family told me don't get into railroading."
Wow. All right.
So he doesn't know why people like trains so much. But then we also went to the Metro Control Center where there's hundreds of trains out there across thousands of miles, of Metro lines, and there's all these people sitting in cubicles looking at all the trains and throwing the switches and signals and things. And the people who we met there just love their job.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
And this love one youngish woman whose job that day was, she's a supervisor, but she was looking at the Rock Island district line. I said, "Have you always wanted to do this?" And she said, "Oh, my whole life, this is all I wanted to do. When I was a little kid, I used to run along the tracks next to the freight trains when they came through town. And I thought, when I'm a big girl, I'm going to do that." And so she's got her dream job.
I love hearing
that. Well, and the thing is, I really thought when we embarked on this that we were going to be just a total annoyance to all these people that we were following doing their jobs.
They probably loved having you there and showing what they did.
They totally did.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to be like, "Get out of our way," but they were so happy that someone was actually giving them some attention.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, nobody knows what they do. They're totally behind the scenes. So that was really special.
We got about a minute left before we have to break, but you've got helping animal trainers at the Shedd Aquarium serve up a hearty and fragrant seafood breakfast
to the whales.
To the whales, which is so cool.
And I got to feed the whales a little bit myself there. And the trainer just loves these animals. You could tell. I mean, that was so much fun. I if we've only got a minute, I helped change the floor at the United Center from basketball to hockey.
Cool. I've seen it in real time, years ago, how they do it. But that's got to be how long
they
does
do
that
it in
take?
2.5 hours, and they're very proud of the fact that they can do it in 2.5 hours. I lifted up pieces of the floor myself, and then I got to ride on the Zamboni And the biggest surprise, the thing people are most surprised by, according to them, is that the ice is there all the time. When you're at a basketball game, the court, or if you're at a concert, you know, you're sitting on ice decking, but the ice is under there all the time.
Well, that would be painful to have to refill that. That does make sense to me, but I never do. So is the basketball court cold?
I asked that.
Yeah.
No, it's elevated up just a tiny, there's a little cavity made a quarter inch under there, and there's sort of felt pads. And so, their feet do not get cold.
All right, we are going to continue with Jeffrey Bear. His new WTTW special, Chicago Works, premieres next Tuesday, December 9th on WTTW. And maybe we'll do a little bit of trivia like we always do, and we'll do that. We'll do that after the news next. All right, Day Player 720 WGN. We're talking to Jeffrey Bear. His new WTTW 60-minute special, Chicago Works, premieres next Tuesday, December 9th on WTTW, the PBS app, and WTTW.com/Chicago Works. So Hanukkah starts a week from Sunday.
Yes.
And last year you did the celebration of Hanukkah, which is available to stream on PBS.org and the app and all that.
Yeah, tell and it's actually being distributed nationally on the PBS
Good
network
for you.
This year. Yeah,
good for you.
So we're very pleased.
Talk a little
that.
Bit about that.
Oh, it was great. I mean, you know, our program director said, you know, every year there's all the PBS stations have 12 Christmas specials, you know, and no Hanukkah show. And the programmers right. and their audiences in places around the country are always saying, you know, where's the Hanukkah show? So we thought we had a little niche we could fill.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, Jeffrey's Jewish. I was not raised with, I did not have a bar mitzvah. I mean,
you told me that. You told me that last year when you did the special.
So,
Right.
So it was a real learning experience for me, too. Yeah. We worked with such a wonderful producer, Rachel Pichelny, and it's just full of laughs. It's just a really, really sweet, funny, fun show, a celebration of Hanukkah.
Well, if you need to do a Catholic show, just call me up.
Okay.
And we can do that. We can put it together. Now, and then talk about Christmas a little bit. And you always talk about Marshall Fields and the Walnut Room and the parades and everything else. But Macy's on State Street just renamed the Walnut Room, the Marshall Fields Walnut Room.
Yeah.
And it makes me think they're just figuring out, you know, retail's tough, right? I mean, retail's disappearing. So how do we get people in the store? Well, let's give them what they wanted.
Give the lady and the family what they want, right? Marshall Field's famous slogan, give the lady what she wants.
But, you know, people were so outraged 20 years ago, much like the Sears Tower and everything else about the renaming and the Hancock and everything else. But renaming that was, I think, brilliant. And then as you walk into the Walnut Room, there's all this Marshall Fields branded merchandise.
Yeah. So we actually, we have a documentary series on WTTW called Chicago Stories,
right,
which I don't host, but I'm involved a little bit.
I had her on the show, the producer.
Yeah, and we did a program about the history of Marshall Fields. We actually just ran it again the other night during our pledge drive. Big response to it. People just have this tremendous nostalgia and just sort of local pride.
Very much
about
so.
That brand.
Yeah.
And so I do think it was very, very smart on the part of Macy's to resurrect that brand.
Ditto.
They know that there's a Chicago pride.
There is. And I think a lot more people know about the background on Marshall Fields or Montgomery Ward and all these people that kept the lakefront free and clear. And, you know, they made an impact, of course. And I did say to one person, I'm like, so what did Marshall Fields, like, when he died, did he donate his money? I'm like, well, there was the Field Museum that's over here. All right, we're going to do just a little trivia. We've got about 5-6 minutes. Let's start the music. All right, there we go. All right, so it's holiday and Hanukkah related.
Okay.
So, and a lot of it I saw in your Hanukkah special. One I didn't. I'm going to try to get you on this one. But some holiday stuff as well. So,
okay.
All right, here's number one. Which holiday movie does not feature the CTA?
Ooh.
Okay, was it Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, While You Were Sleeping, or Home Alone? Which is, of course, The House and Winnetka and so forth.
Well, I know Planes, Trains, and Automobiles does.
Absolutely does.
Home Alone.
Yes, that's correct. Ding, ding, ding. Home Alone is the one that does not have it in there. I've never seen While You Were Sleeping, so I wouldn't know that one.
But I think he's, I've seen it, and I think he's on an L platform.
Yeah, very much so, yep. What does the word Hanukkah mean? A, candles. B, triumph. C, dedication, or D, potato pancakes? Latkes.
Well, I know this one. It means dedication.
That's right. That's right.
It's about rededicating the temple that was destroyed in ancient times.
Yeah, I wasn't going to get you on this.
And the rabbi we interviewed, who was wonderful, in one of the rabbis in the Hanukkah show, said it's, you know, nowadays we can think of it as a time to sort of rededicate ourselves to whatever it is that we hold dear and believe in and want to sort of.
You learned a lot.
I did. I learned a lot when we did the show. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so what year did the Chris Kindle Market in Chicago open? Was it 1980, 1990, or 1996?
That one I don't know. I'm going to say 96.
It was 96. Oh! Oh, for not knowing, man. Good job.
Well, actually went to, I think it's the original one, which is in Nuremberg, Germany.
Oh, you're talking about real.
Yeah. Okay. When I was a young student in Europe, I spent my junior year of college abroad. And at Christmas time, we went down on a sort of a Christmas break. And went through Nuremberg, and I didn't know anything about it, but we stumbled across it. And I think that is the original one.
That's awesome. That's very cool. The best place to light the menorah is A, outside your front door, B, in your front window, or D, on your rooftop.
Well, the first and the third one, it's not going to stay lit. It's in your window, because that's another thing I learned when I did the show, A Celebration of Hanukkah for WTTW, now PBS, is there's a kind of an idea about proclaiming the miracle, like showing the world the miracle. And so, you know, and it's a more outward facing holiday, unlike some other Jewish holidays that are more about the family and just the home.
Yeah. 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 Who created Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? What retailer? Was it Sears, Montgomery Ward, or Zayer?
not Target, not Amazon. It was a guy named Robert May, who was an ad copywriter at Montgomery Ward.
That's very true.
And actually, eventually, you know, he had some, I think nobody wanted to sing it. And then Gene Autry to do it. A relative of Bob May's wrote the music. Robert May wrote the music, maybe his brother. And it became a world, you know, big hit. And Montgomery Ward, I don't think Montgomery Ward himself was still alive. But no. Whoever was in charge of Montgomery Ward's eventually gave Robert May the rights to
it. Right.
Because it had been done as a work for hire and he wasn't reaping any rewards from it. And he gave him the rights to it.
Which is amazing. Which then might be still around today if that was the case. Actually, there's awards.com. Everyone buys the domain and they put up. There's a department store online called awards.com.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Still there. Absolutely.
You know, I have to tell you, I do the river tours for the Chicago Architecture Center.
Yeah.
And we get up to the north, to Goose Island on the north branch of the Chicago River.
By the way, when you do that, there should be just a big light, a beacon that comes on that you're on the boat.
Yeah. But anyway, and right there was the old Montgomery Ward's headquarters.
Right.
And I always ask for a show.
I worked for them. Oh,
did you?
Buildings. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I ask for a show of hands how many people have heard of Montgomery Ward, and maybe a third of the people on the boat have actually ever heard of Montgomery Ward.
When it closed, and I was one of the guys that came in with a group to revitalize the stores. We remodeled 80 stores that were beautiful, but another 120 had duct tape and terrible. But one of the last things I did was make sure I found a home for all the archives. So there was universities and so forth, but the collection of what we had for Rudolph, you know, it was an extraordinary. I knew you were going to say University of Maryland, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
University. It should be preserved.
Yes, it absolutely should be. All right, here's another Hanukkah one. What is the traditional Hanukkah currency gift called? Is it A, cash, B, moolah, or C, gelt?
It is gelt.
It is gelt.
Gelt is a Yiddish word meaning money. It's also, you know, Yiddish is kind of a mashup of Hebrew and German.
Yeah.
And gelt is, I believe, money in German as well.
Yeah.
But yes, gelt. Hanukkah gelt.
Here's the last one. The Saturday Night Live character Hanukkah Harry was portrayed on the show as a variation upon the modern day image of Santa Claus with a beard characteristic of a male adherent of Haredi. Oh, let me just get this correct. Haredi Judaism?
Well, like very Orthodox Judaism. Right?
Okay, let me say that. Adherent of Orthodox Judaism. And then his hat was blue with white edges. Hanukkah Harry steps in to help Santa Claus because A, Santa is overwhelmed by the number of toys to distribute, B, Santa has a stomach virus, or C, tariffs made it impossible for Santa to make all the toys and he was embarrassed.
That would be an anachronism, but I don't. Stomach virus?
Stomach virus is correct. You got them all. See, you were concerned. You got all of them.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Jeffrey's new WTTW 60-minute special, Chicago Works, premieres next Tuesday, December 9th on WTTW, the PBS app, and WTTW.com/Chicago Works. Thank you, my friend, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you and all of your listeners. And it's always wonderful to be with you.
Thank you. As always, thank you, sir.